Plans to bring a luxury hotel to the Mile End are closer than ever to being realized. On Thursday, Montreal's Public Consultation Office, the OCPM, released its report on the redevelopment of the Van Horn Warehouse. The 100-year-old industrial building with its iconic water tower is slated to become a 120-room hotel with rooftop restaurant and space for commercial rentals, plus a major addition replacing a garage on its west side. The project has been the focus of community opposition, but the OCPM says the new plans saw an increase in, quote, social acceptability. Developer Rester Management has set aside 25% of the original building for artist studios, and the renovations will preserve more of the original building facade. A total of 890 people took part in public consultations last fall, 331 of whom contributed opinions, questions, or concerns. And their feedback is what prompted the OCPM to recommend the project to the city. I speak with Laurent-Olivier Laure, who's a researcher at the OCPM and one of the authors of the consultation report, about that report and why they chose to recommend the project. Here's our conversation. All right. Thank you for coming on CKUT. Can I just ask you to introduce yourself?
Yes, my name is Laurent-Olivier Laure. I am an analyst at the Office de Consultation Publique de Montréal. I am one of the analysts that was working on the Van Horn Warehouse transformation project.
And you at the OCPM released your report earlier today, which recommended that the city give the somewhat controversial project the go-ahead. And I want to hear from you, just in broad strokes, why it was that you recommended the approval of this project.
Right. So some aspects of the project remain controversial, like you said, the hotel in particular, which people fear will further gentrify the neighborhood. However, the project as a whole, which now includes affordable artist studios and a performance space, is generally well received. Throughout our activities, we saw that the local population is very attached to this building, so a lot of people were enthusiastic about the possibility of bringing new life to this building. In fact, many of them worry about the viability of the project. They worry that would the project not go through, the building would remain abandoned and would then rapidly deteriorate. But yes, you're right to point out that there was controversy, and the hotel is the main point of contention. People, like I said, fearing that it would gentrify the neighborhood, but also that it didn't really address any local need.
Yeah, so then what changed? Because, you know, this isn't the first consultation on the Van Horn Warehouse. Back in 2023, I know the borough, the Plateau Montréal, blocked the redevelopment project after their consultation brought up some serious concerns from the community. Around 40% or more of the people who participated in that consultation had serious concerns. What's changed? You say that now the people you've spoken to are more in favor of the project. What's happened there?
So just a little correction. In order to go through, in order to be approved, since this is like a major project that is not compliant with the borough's urban planning regulation, as specified under Article 89 of the city charter, it had to go through a public consultation through an independent body, but held by the city center, not by the borough. So the process carried out by the borough in 2023, they chose to conduct a smaller consultation, before the city administration takes up the matter, because for them the building is an important landmark, so they wanted to have the opinion of the community before sending it to the bigger consultation. Now, the borough did not block the project then. The project couldn't go through until there was a consultation with an independent body, in this case, us, the Office de Consultation Publique de Montréal. But I'm glad that you mentioned that there were some changes, because after this first consultation, the main change, like I said, is that they added one third of the existing building will now be affordable artist spaces, which is something that was which a major demand during the first consultation. They went back, the developers, that is, they went back to the drawing boards to better preserve the structure of the building. People were very attached to this monolithic, opaque facades. So efforts were made to better preserve it. So yeah, these are the things that changed. There are other little things, as you can see in our report, but I would say these are the main things.
Yeah, I just want to push back on one thing. You said they did a little consultation.
I misspoke.
You know, it seems like they got responses from over 10,000 people.
I believe
you got responses from under 1,000 people. Like that, for me, it seems I misspoke.
But the thing is, the first consultation was, it was an online questionnaire. So people could, they answered an online questionnaire, whereas we went really further to reach people. We had, to get more richer answers. People could really give a more depth in their opinions. So we've done many things. We've had a workshop. We've asked people to send documents, memoirs that we call them, and we've asked people to come to present their opinion in front of the commission. So I misspoke when I said it was a little consultation. It's a different consultation, and it is not as long and not as deep.
Yeah, speaking of the memoir or the briefs that people submitted, I had a look at some of those because they're linked in the report. Some of them are, you know, you can find the copy. And one submission from the Semaphore Collective echoes, I would say, a pretty common critique. You know, you obviously can't read the report and see what the people who came in person to these workshops said, but Semaphore says, quote, "There are 120 too many hotel rooms in this project, and a few token gestures tossed to the artists and the local residents won't make them swallow this bitter pill, especially not in the midst of a housing crisis." And I've seen other groups sort of say the same thing, that, you know, even though there are this affordable artist space within the new project, you know, it's still not the same as having a project that is 100% nonprofit for the community, that they still see it as a gentrifying project. Do you guys take into account, this might not be the only project, if we didn't recommend this, there could potentially be this kind of project that some people in the community are asking for, that is transforming the space with a fully nonprofit focus? Like, how do you guys weigh those kinds of potential alternatives?
Okay, so a lot to unpack here. I will start by the last thing you said. It's important to keep in mind that the site is a privately owned property. So the uses of the building are ultimately the owner's decision. The city can say, we want you to do this or that. It's ultimately the owner doesn't want the building to be 100% nonprofit. There's no real way to force them to do it.
Well, I guess you could block this project, and then they would have to sell, and the city could use its right of first refusal. Like, am I correct in saying that there's a difficult way, maybe an unpopular way to block it, but there's some way to block it?
Sure, the city could do that, but that would mean that the city has reason to believe that there is a better viable project that could happen. Let's put it like that. And this is a building that requires major renovations. So I don't know if the city would want to put that much money into a building.
Because
what you're proposing is that the city blocks the project and then expropriate the owner and then takes the building.
Well, I think that's what some people in the community would like to see. That's the reason why I asked the question, to see, like, technically, would that be feasible? Practically, whether it would happen in the next 5 or 10 or 15 years is another matter.
Technically feasible, but I don't think it's going to happen. We looked at that and we said, it doesn't seem plausible. That's it. It's technically feasible, but it's not plausible.
Okay,
along with the other things you said, you talked about the housing crisis. This is a question that we get a lot. So the borough indicated that the building is located directly at the northern edge of the lot, in direct contact with the Canadian Pacific rail tracks. The siting, combined with the desire to preserve the existing structure, makes the integration of the mitigation measures required by regulation for the addition of housing units next to impossible. To add to that, the city's master plan, the Plan d'urbanisme et de mobilité, does not permit housing on this lot. So there were regulation issues that don't permit adding housing to that lot.
You mentioned as well the cost to transform the site if it were to become, you know, city-owned property. But I understand that the city, you know, even to support this private project, will have to make some kinds of investments to see it out. Can you tell me a little bit more about what that will require?
The only investment so far that would be required to make the project work are for the affordable artist spaces. Right now, there is a it's a usufruct agreement between the developer and the nonprofit organization that would manage the affordable artist spaces. And in order for those artist spaces to be the renovations, the changes in the building, in order to make place for those spaces, will need money. And that money, so for the nonprofit organization, they are counting on investment from the City of Montreal. This is, by the way, one of our recommendations. There was a program that we called Subsidy to Renovate Buildings that House Artist Studios. That was a municipal program that expired last December. The nonprofit organization was counting on that program to help build the arts of spaces. And there's no info as to the renewal of the program. So one of our recommendations is that the city helps subsidize affordable arts of spaces, not only in this project, but in all future projects in and around the city. So yeah, with regards to public money, that would be only for the arts of spaces.
Is there any risk that the project would go ahead without this funding? Like, are there going to be, I guess, guarantees that if this project gets the green light from the city, starts development, that, you know, these artist studios will actually be developed and rented affordably? What I guess, mechanisms need to be in place for that to be a guarantee?
Well, asking the city to subsidize, and it's not only subsidies, but to help in any way, whether technical or financial help, is one way to guarantee that. Another thing that we propose, or rather recommended, is to designate the building as a heritage site. Perhaps this warrants some explanation. Gives a legal status that allows the city to protect the property and regulate intervention concerning it. So this helps to preserve, obviously, the iconic structure. But in return, it may provide access to financial or technical assistance, so it can be beneficial for both the community and the owner with regards to the transformation of the artist spaces. Another thing that we did to ensure that, because one of the things that worried people is that, like I said, there's a usufruct agreement for 20 years that guarantees that the arts spaces will be affordable for the next 20 years. But people were worried what happens beyond those 20 years. One of the things we suggest is to create what we call a social utility trust. Social utility trust is a legal tool to consolidate the social component of the project, so the affordable arts spaces. What it does is that it locks an asset into a nonprofit purposes for pretty much as long as the asset exists. So such a measure would does be a strong and long-term guarantee for the continued affordability of the artist spaces.
You guys have put forward your recommendations. We've talked about a few of them already. Tabled this report to the mayor and the city. What happens next? What's the timeline here?
It's going to be at the executive committee on the 21st and the municipal council on the 26th.
And then if it's approved at those levels, it goes ahead. What does it look like if the city green lights it at the end of this month?
The project will go ahead, obviously. As for other recommendations, it will be up to the municipal council to decide if they apply them all, if they apply some of them,
Got it. So you had 10 recommendations. They're all going to be up for debate, and we'll see at the end of the month which get passed, which don't.
Some of them, the first one, obviously, which gives the go-ahead to the project, will be adopted on 26th or not on the municipal council later this month. But some of these other recommendations could take time. For instance, we have a recommendation that is about the transformation of big industrial spaces. So basically what the report says is that when people are consulted at the very first steps, it's more beneficial because it's easier to meet their expectations, like their demands. It's easier to insert in the very first steps of a project. And we know that in the next couple of years, there's going to be a lot of these projects of transformation of a larger industrial ensemble. And the fact that there was a prior consultation, in our view, it's a very good practice in terms of social acceptability, and one that should become increasingly common.
And people can go to the OCPM website if they want to read the full report, read all the recommendations.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much for coming on CKUT. I appreciate it.
Yes, my pleasure.
That was Laurent Olivier Laure from the OCPM, Montreal's Arm's Length Consultation Office. They released a report on Thursday recommending the city approve a luxury hotel project for One Van Horn.